coming up on 3 and Out.
Looks right, throws right, passes caught. Sanders, Denver, touchdown.
Trevor Siemian earned his stripes against the Bengals, putting up some elite numbers on the road.
It's good to know we can win games a couple of different ways.
Now the team turns its sights to Tampa Bay, trying to steal a win from the Buccaneers.
But Jameis, he's a great quarterback.
And Aqib Talib returns to the place where his career began. But will he get a warm welcome?
It'd be a nice homecoming from you, man. It'd be exciting.
It's time to party. 3 and Out starts right now. Hello, and thank you for joining us for this week's 3 and Out, presented by American Financing, Colorado's home for home loans. I'm Phil Milani, and we've got a great show on tap for you. Three of the biggest topics this week, plus your Twitter questions. So let's get things started with First Down. Here with Matt Boyer. Matt, for his first start on the road, Trevor Siemian, 300 yards, 4 touchdowns. Couldn't have gone much better than that.
No, that amounts to a 132 passer rating, 4 touchdowns, like you said. It was incredible to watch what he was able to do. From the start of the game all the way on through, started a little bit slow on offense, but then picked things up as the second half went along. I thought that last drive where he hit Demaryius Thomas for that 55-yard touchdown was super impressive from beginning to end. He started first down from his own 17, hitting Jeff Heirman with that beautiful pass across the middle, and then finding DT on that 55-yard pass over the top. That was on 3rd and 11. That took some huge guts to hit him in
gusto.
A situation. Gusto is the word that he used. During his press conference. So I just thought that showed us a lot about who he is as a player, how much he likes being in that spot, how comfortable he is in that spot. And we mentioned it in our pregame show on DenverBroncos.com earlier that day. His last full game as a starter on the road came at Notre Dame, a 43-40 overtime win. Clearly, he likes being in big moments on the road, and it showed against Cincinnati.
Yeah, you hear all these stories about how calm and poised he is, directing the huddle, did it in that moment with the pass to Demaryius Thomas there. The other thing Gary Kubiak said he likes is his pocket awareness, and that was one of the things he was most impressed during his Monday press conference.
One of the things teaching quarterbacks it's really hard to teach is when you move to keep your eyes up. A lot of guys, when they move, first thing they do is bury their head when they start to run. Trevor moves and his eyes stay up, makes people play defense. You know, guys can move around. So I think that's something that's natural to him.
Time for Second Down, and now we're joined by Andrew Mason. And Mace, the Broncos turning their sights from the Bengals toward the Bucs now. A big week for you, heading back to the Tampa Bay area. Broncos not that familiar with the Buccaneers, but one guy they do know is Jameis Winston.
Well, yeah, everyone scouted Jameis Winston coming out of Florida State last year, of course, and he has not disappointed. Of course, there were reports leading into the draft last year that his acumen, his ability to learn a system, was close to that of Peyton Manning. That's something remarkable. But certainly the thing that I like most about him and watching him is the fact that he's learned how to shake off mistakes. The one reservation I had about him as a football player was the fact that he would make a mistake at Florida State, then would become a second mistake and a third mistake. It would mushroom on him pretty quickly. What I see from him is that he makes a mistake and then he compartmentalizes it. There's not many times he's going to follow one bad throw with another bad throw in the next series, of course. That being said, this Broncos pass rush is going to pose a challenge for Winston and a Bucs offensive line that is still developing. It's going to pose a challenge for them that they haven't faced in the last year or so.
Jameis Winston so far, 8 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. Big game last week against the Rams, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. The Bucs, though, 1-2 coming into this game. This was a big year for them, thinking maybe they could get into the playoffs.
Yeah, and the disappointment they have over the Rams game Sunday is profound. That's one they felt like they could have won and should have won. They were up 20-10 and fell apart. The Rams had got 3 consecutive touchdowns and a Bucs rally was too little too late. Tampa Bay was hurt by the absence of Doug Martin. He didn't play. He's hurt. They had to go with Charles Sims. So there was not much of a running game there. And with Martin not expected to play this week, it looks like more of the same for the Bucs. So we're going to see a lot of Jameis Winston's dropping back to throw. He's got good targets. Vincent Jackson, people in Colorado know about because he's from the Springs and Northern Colorado. Mike Evans, of course, the big guy on the outside. Sims will get involved in the passing game as well. but that's where the Bucs are going to have to try to spring the upsets in the passing game. And I think, frankly, given the Broncos' pass rush, they probably want the Bucs to throw.
Yeah, that sounds like a recipe for Von Miller and Shane Ray to have a big day as this Broncos defense is gearing up to face the big arm quarterback.
I've been watching Jameis since college, so you know I know the kind of player he is. He makes good throws. Thing with him is just keeping him in the pocket as well. It's a good thing and a bad thing. Like, we want him to scramble because I feel like he throws into a lot of traffic. But at the same time, you don't want him to be able to sit and plant his feet and make his correct reads.
He's a great quarterback. You know, we played against, you know, really good quarterbacks these first four games. And, you know, he's another scramble, make big plays. Had a whole bunch of yards again this last game, so he's going to be a tough competitor.
Time for third down, and now we're joined by the Ben Swanson, looking sharp as ever. And this week will be Aqib Talib's first time heading back to where he started his career in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. You know, New England, when he was on there after he got traded, they had just come off from playing Tampa Bay a little bit earlier. But yeah, first time going back to Tampa Bay. That's where he spent 4 years after being a first-round draft pick for them. Some good memories there for him, I'm sure, but no playoff bursts there, so not so good there. But yeah, it'll be interesting for him. Got another top wide receiver to face there.
Yeah, that was something we talked to him in the locker room about. 1 week you're facing AJ Green, now the next week it's Mike Evans, and then the next week it's Julio Jones. So it like never stopped in the NFL, right?
Right. I mean, Mike Evans is kind of like AJ Green. They're both about 6'4", 6'5". Evans doesn't quite have the same speed, but that's okay. Not everyone can be AJ Green.
Exactly.
But Mike Evans has great hands, great size, can do a lot of things for them. So
it'll be a difficult matchup for Aqib Talib for sure. Something that he's talked about in the past is that when he was there, he didn't really know how to be a pro. And then he got to New England and learned how to be in the NFL. And then, of course, we've seen all the success he's had here.
Well, right. I mean, his man defense is, you know, hard to replicate. And paired with Chris Harris Jr., that's a dynamite combination that teams can't really crack the code to.
Yeah, with two shutdown cornerbacks, that's really what makes this number one defense from a year ago really so special. Aqib Talib, though, this week doesn't know what to expect from that Buccaneers crowd.
This will be my first time playing in Tampa since I left, man. So it'll be a nice homecoming for me, man. It'll be exciting. Get ready to deal with that heat again, you know, like early in my career. I put in my time in Tampa, man. I feel like I was pretty productive there. So, man, hopefully I do get a warm welcome.
It's time for fourth down. And before we get to your Twitter questions and send things over to our intern extraordinaires, a quick message from American Financing.
Nothing's better than being at home. It's where your best moments happen. So make the right call to American Financing. Colorado's home for home loans. Their mortgage consultants are salary-based, so they're only focused on taking care of you. You can get pre-qualified in 10 minutes and can close in as fast as 10 days. Call American Financing at 303-695-7000. That's 303-695-7000.
Welcome back to 3 and Out. I'm Caroline Disley.
And I'm Eric DeLala. Let's get right to it. First up, from Daniel Gonzalez, we want to know, Trevor distributes the ball so well. Is that head coach Gary Kubiak's plan, or is that improvisation by the quarterback? Matt, take this one away.
I think that's just what the defense is giving him at that moment. Against the Bengals, we saw him hit 9 different receivers. Against the Colts, it was 9. Panthers, he only hit 5 different guys. So I think we've seen a nice progression throughout the weeks as far as him finding comfort with his targets. And talk about comfort, his top two wide receivers, Emmanuel Sanders, 9 catches, 117 yards, 2 touchdowns. Demaryius Thomas, 6 catches, 100 yards, and 1 touchdown. And then how about the tight ends? I think he's found great chemistry with Jeff Heirman and John Phillips. Virgil Green, that was a question going through the week, whether or not he would play. There was a lot of questions at that tight end position. And I think Simeon is able to find comfort with all those guys. He played with all of these guys during training camp because there was a huge competition as to who the starter was going to be. I think that's paying dividends right now. And I think that's a huge factor as to why this offense is finding success as they are 3-0 to start the year.
Thanks, Matt. Great answer as always. Caroline, you want to take the next one?
Of course. This one comes from Stuart McPeak, and he wants to know, what can Denver do to shore up the run defense? Mace, you always have the right answers.
Well, there's a couple of things. Number one, it starts with continued improvement on the defensive line. The Broncos are headed in the right direction there. You saw Billy Winn rotate in on Sunday and make some big plays, and Jared Crick continues to get better and better on every down basis. But after that first drive, when Jeremy Hill got 65 yards on four carries, the Broncos really did a good job against the run, with one exception: against the quarterback. Andy Dalton had 41 yards on his five scrambles on Sunday. He had another kneel down, but I don't like to count kneel downs. They're irrelevant. So the Broncos have to do a better job of making sure there's someone up the middle to watch where the quarterback's going to go. You've got another quarterback coming up this week in Tampa Bay. It's Jameis Winston, who can make some plays with his feet. So something the Broncos have to be concerned about. Their edge rush is fine, but that vacated middle has led to some big plays. Go back to Andrew Luck with his scramble last week. It's something the Broncos have to be concerned about, because that's where most of the big plays on the ground are coming right now.
Mace, informative as always. Eric, you want to take us away with the last question?
Absolutely. Esteban says, what can the defense do to stop the quarterback run? Andy Dalton gained a couple of first downs, and we might see it against Tampa Bay. Ben Swanson, this one's for you.
Good question, and thanks for submitting it. We always appreciate that. We saw Dalton gain some of those big plays on the ground, and we've seen some other mobile quarterbacks kind of gain some yardage on those as well, just kind of scrambling, not really so much on some of the designed runs, though we saw that from Cam Newton in week one. I think what they need to do is be a little bit more disciplined on that third down rush. That seems to be where they have some trouble, so the gaps break down. They needed to hold up those gaps, keep the quarterback pinned in the pocket, and then time kind of runs out as the routes break down, and then they're just kind of trapped in the pocket until someone gets to them.
Thanks, Swanson. Great answer as always.
And thank you guys for all your questions. Keep sending them in. Phil, back to you.
Thank you very much, guys. Nice job as always. And that's going to do it for this week's show. I'm Phil Milani. Special thanks to Matt Boyer, Andrew Mason, Ben Swanson, our intern extraordinaires Caroline Disley, and Eric Dalala, plus Austin Brink behind the camera. That's been this week's Three and Out, presented by American Financing, Colorado's home for home loans.